Hi, this is Gary Chalk, and you're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
My name is Adam of Grayskull. When good is threatened by the power of Eternia, I was summoned to the future by the last of mankind to defend them in their hour of need. But my old enemy, Skeletor, followed me. Now, here in the future, he has found new allies to help him in his never-ending fight against all that is good. Yet on Primus, I too have found new brave friends and a new family. Thus, with the power of the good and the way of the magic, we struggle against the forces of darkness. Good against evil. The battle continues.
Hello, this is Optimus Solo, and welcome to the 85th chapter in our Powers of Grayskull series. With me for this journey into the Masters of the Universe franchise is, of course, TFG1 Mike. Hello.
Is it over yet?
What's the saying?
Are we there yet?
No, the saying is, what, 22 left after this?
Oh, something like that. I've lost count. This show is so fucking bad.
All right. People say it's good, though, so we're going to keep doing it. Yeah.
They're damn liars.
They're trapped in a time warp of some sort. Yeah. In this episode of Masters in Space, we'll be giving you our thoughts on the next three episodes of this incredible series. Episode 7, The Pen is Mightier Than the Sword. Or is it? Episode 8, Glasnost Smashnost. And episode 9, The Youngest Hero. So we hope you're ready, because we're not, but we have to. Go back to space.
A most charming idea.
Except that this is Gorn City, not Primus.
Ah, fun is where you find it.
Speaking of finding things, this trip has been a waste. We haven't found one recruit for the mutant space force.
Oh, what's this?
A simple painting, that's all.
No, there is nothing simple about this painting, or the artist who drew it. He and I have a great future together.
Are you coming or not?
Not. I want to learn more of this.
Why, Skeletor, I never knew you had an interest in art.
I have an interest in anything that can bring me victory over my foe. Leave me now, Flog. I've got webs to weave. Trust me, you're gonna love it.
First up today is episode 7. The Pen is Mightier Than the Sword, .. Or is it? ? Air date at the end of September 1990. Writing done by Jack Lesker, who we've been familiar with, obviously. And joining him is Dorissa Curry. Skeletor awakens a race of mythical beings. The monstrosities attack Primus and cannot be stopped. He-Man only realizes at the last second how he's going to stop these magical, mystical beings. Mike, what do you think about the plot for The Pen is Mightier Than the Sword?
I got nothing. This show. This fucking show. Like, seriously.
It's kind of like back in... What was it, She-Ra, where they were doing the pictures?
Mm-hmm.
It seems like it's that idea. I mean, it's nothing really like that as far as the episode goes, but it seemed like it was kind of like that idea as far as how you were going to paint somebody and then they were going to be trapped and that type of stuff. So a similar idea, I guess, taken a completely different way. I guess I'd rather go back and watch that She-Ra episode again, though.
Yeah, I said this, and by the time people are hearing this, it's going to be months in the past, but... I said on
Twitter...
We're
in space. Time travel's allowed.
Yeah. As long as you have a DeLorean. I said on Facebook, I would rather watch The Final Frontier on endless loop than watch this show ever again. Oh, my God. I would rather watch the worst Star Trek film ever than watch this. Oh, my God.
Someone, though, brought up that... They try to say they'd rather watch the live-action Masters of the Universe, than this. And I don't feel like that's a fair comparison, because you were trying to say that you would rather watch something bad than this. And I enjoy that movie. Like, I can genuinely enjoy that movie. I have sat through so many countless cartoons, so many more than you could probably understand, because of all of the work at behindthevoiceactors.com. I've had to watch shit that I have not liked, that I have not wanted to watch, just to capture images, etc., voice clips, whatever it might be. I've seen thousands and thousands of episodes of cartoons. I've seen good shows, garbage shows, middle of the road shows. This is a garbage show.
Yep.
This is a garbage show. I don't care how much people want to talk about the writing and talk about, oh, this is, you know, it's better written. The storyline is, you know, there's some continuity there. Just because a story has continuity, or because stuff from one episode to the other episode is connected, does not make it good. There has to be something drawing you to this, and the characters are just not doing it. They look awful. It's just, there's nothing to draw you to this series. Like, why do people watch this show? They don't want, do they watch it for weird looking Skeletor? Do they watch it for He-Man? Kind of, I guess you could call him He-Man.
I mean, like, Skeletor has gotten better.
As yeah, but I mean, is that going to draw you to the show? Are you going to watch this show to see what this, to like tune in? I got to see more of this Skeletor.
Maybe the only thing for me, because at this point, now that I know, like when we originally started this, you know, two episodes ago, I didn't realize at the time who Campbell Lane was, the fact that he was the voice of Rampage in Beast Wars and all of that. And now that I can hear it in the Skeletor voice, I can hear it in his laugh. Skeletor has some good lines.
He's the best character out of all of them. But I'm saying, is the best character in the series still enough to draw you to it? Like, you know, people
not
would
the
tune
entire
in.
Show, maybe an episode here or there, but not the entire show. No,
I mean, people would tune in to the Turtles for the Turtles. You know, they would tune in to G.I. Joe to see what Cobra Commander or Destro or somebody was going to do, you know, because they were just cool looking dudes and they had an intrigue to them or whatever. You know, they would tune in to the Thundercats for Lion-O or for Mum-Ra. You know, like they live for that moment where Mum-Ra transforms. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, there's stuff that's drawing you to that. And the best character in this series, Skeletor, still wouldn't be enough to get me as a kid to watch this. Like, it just, I don't know, it just doesn't do it for me at all.
No.
All right. Well, I'm not trying to get off track of the episode, but I just had to get that out there. That's my bitching moment before we try to be fair to these episodes and rank them and all that kind of jazz. But, oof. All right, let's try to make a trip to the Palace of Eternos for anything you liked about this episode.
Did he say Captain Tiffer or Captain Tipper? I couldn't tell.
Tipper, I think.
Okay. And then we have a giant space rabbit. Okay, then. The only thing I... outside of Skeletor and He-Man's lines in this that were pretty funny, the only thing I really dug was the music at the scene where it's right as Skeletor
Keldor.
It's right before he says a coup de grace. Like, the music swell right there. That was cool. What do you got?
Not a lot. I mean, I think there's a funny line from Skeletor in there, because he's standing right in front of Flog and he has the line, "I just love forcing people to do what I want them to."
Yep.
It's like, how dumb is this guy to not realize that that's exactly what he's doing to him? Yeah. You know, I thought the paintings were interesting. And Skeletor hiding in the hay was kind of a weird moment, but I guess I liked it because it's in my Palace of Eternals moments. Mm-hmm. What about you for detractions? What didn't you like about this episode?
It just, like, they're not going anywhere with these plots. Like, We're supposed to be learning about this world Primus that has nothing to do with Unicron or the Transformers, and we're supposed to be learning why the mutants and the people of Primus are at war, other than the fact to just have a war, or just the fact that the mutants want to take over Primus and yada 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 and whatever else. It's too generic, and this episode specifically is about as generic as you can get.
Yeah. It's generic enough that I didn't have anything that I wanted to write down one way or the other, I guess. So yeah. There's something. I mean, it didn't necessarily like straight up piss me off or make me angry or, you know, disappoint me or grate on my nerves. Nothing like that. But, man, there's just not a lot to write home about. Like, I find myself utterly bored during these episodes. And I'm hoping that I'll find a few gems along the way. But it's been rough going so far. So... Mm-hmm. All right, well, moving right along then, I guess. How about anybody that stood out enough that you want to give them some props or bash them in the head, or what do you think?
Skeletor and Slushhead get power swords because they're just too funny in this episode. They really are. They stole the episode.
Fair enough. I just had one. This guy that they're calling Helm... Mm-hmm. The human looking gentleman with the weird hair, it's kind of like pointed like an alien, I guess. I don't know, like I gave him a Havoc staff and a power sword. Like, I thought he was a good character and then I thought he was terrible at the same time. So I don't know how that works, but I liked him and hated him, so take that for what you will. What about a Galactic Guardian rating for this episode?
2.5.
2.5. I am not far off from you. I am at a 3. It's just another, based on those grades, you can clearly see that this is just another standard middle of the road, not great, not bad, just there. It's just there.
Yeah.
All right. Well, see, I think what we got to do here, Mike, is we have to be men of our words. We have to, you know, be true to what we said we were going to do. But all we said we were going to do is cover these episodes.
Yeah.
We did not say that we were going to give them the same amount of attention or time that we did the He-Man or the She-Ra or the 2002 series. We just said we were going to cover them. So yeah. I think it's just like full speed ahead right now. Like, let's just put our heads down.
Well, let's just, before we start, you know, bullying through the rest of this episode, the sad thing is these episode lengths for this part of the Powers of Grayskull series, with how negative we are on this show, it's about the same length as an episode of Peacock with Michael and I doing our Phineas and Ferb show, and we praise the hell out of Phineas and Ferb.
But see, we're doing a service. Number one, we're covering the show, so we're not lying to anybody. We're not going back on our word. Number two, I know there's a lot of people out there that don't like lengthy podcasts, you know, and we're usually a little bit more lengthy. We're winded. You know, we like to put out podcasts across the network that are, you know, hour and a half, hour and 15 minutes, hour and 45 minutes, 2 hours, etc. So we're just changing it up for people. Maybe some people out there like the 20-minute show.
Maybe. Let's hope.
We're trying to get like 3 episodes worth of reviews in the time it would take for you to watch one episode of this series. That's what we're trying to do. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with episode 8.
It's Showtime Synergy. The latest review podcast from the Geekcast Radio Network is here. So join TFG1 Mike, Nicole Hailstorm, and myself, Lady Wreck, as we will be reviewing all 65 episodes of Joe and the Holograms in a 25-episode long podcast. You can find Showtime Synergy on iTunes and GeekcastRadio.com. We are the truly outrageous podcast that you want to be listening to.
Up next today, episode 8, Glasnost. Schmasnost, somewhere around October 1990, written by Kevin O'Donnell. After their recent failure, Skeletor and the mutants suddenly open up peace negotiations once more. But He-Man is suspicious, and the Galactic Advice Council says that both sides should dispatch an ambassador. The mutants send Skeletor, who wants to use his stay on Primus for an insidious plot, and the Galactic Council clearly obviously chooses He-Man. So we have He-Man and Skeletor meeting about peace. What do you think of this one?
This is the first in a long, what I'm assuming is going to be a long line of Skeletor trying to do the peace type, oh, I come in peace, He-Man, and I yada yada yada, and because, yeah, this one was alright. I think because this is not Eternia, this is a new world. Again, we don't know that much about this world. We were just thrown into it. We know the basics of, you know, like I said earlier in the other episode of the podcast today, you know, we know Cebrian and the humans or the Primordians or whatever you want to call them. they're the good guys or they're the ones that are being enslaved by the mutants and whatever else and yada, yada, yada. But, like, you know, this is a new world to He-Man. This isn't a world that has been oppressed by Skeletor for, you know, years and years and years like Eternia was. So it's like, I almost wish He-Man would not just solely go bullying in with, oh, but it's Skeletor and he's bad. Well, we know he's bad, He-Man. We get it. We understand it. But, and yeah, he was right in the end, but still, it's like, if you're trying to impress a new population of people, I don't know, try a little bit more tact, maybe?
Yeah, I do think it's an interesting plot, though. Like, I think it's interesting that the bad guys are the ones suggesting peace. I don't know how many times I've seen that. Maybe it's been done a lot. It probably has, but it hasn't been done a lot in the He-Man She-Ra series that we've been watching. So we haven't seen, like, Hordak wasn't being like, hey, let's, you know, just be peaceful and let's get all along together. So I thought it was an interesting take from that aspect. You know, a little bit forced that you're going to have Skeletor and He-Man as the two ambassadors, so to speak. I think it would have been a little more interesting to find a different way to do it. But I do like the idea that it's like, if the bad guys are suggesting peace, you know, how do you really say no, or how do you kind of go about that? Because it's clearly something's up, but you don't know it, but you can't be the ones that's saying, like, no, we don't want peace. So it's a it's an interesting plot as far as how it sets people up and the predicament it puts, in this case, He-Man in. So I did enjoy the plot. Let's get into the execution. What did you like most about this episode?
I will always enjoy Campbell Lane as Skeletor. What about you?
That's it.
That's it.
Like I said, I think it's a great plan from Skeletor, so I give him mad props for coming up with a plan. I like the peacekeeping setting, that you kind of have the, you know, all the people around and kind of like a council type thing. And I like that we got a spotlight on a few other mutants, so I got to see a little bit of them outside of the, you know, the main couple. So yeah, I thought there were some highlights to this episode for sure, but there's also some detractions. My main problem, and I don't know why I'm having more of a problem in this series maybe than I did. I mean, we brought it up so many times in She-Ra, I guess, but obviously in She-Ra she uses the sword to lasso, sword to this, sword to whatever, blah, 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 blah. But it was like a thing. Like, that was part of her power. Like, she can talk to animals and her sword can do a bunch of different stuff. He-Man's powers and how this sword works and the, what do we call it? The magic and...
Power of the good, way of the magic.
Yeah, like, that has been a slogan, but it's never really been explained. Like, what can He-Man do with this sword, and what are his powers and that type of thing? What's in his toolbox, so to speak?
I think the only thing we have noticed is, you know, he's the strongest man in the universe. That has kind of remained. But you're right, the sword thing, it's like...
Because one of the key things to all of the success of the other He-Man series, especially the Filmation, what they did so good, and yeah, whatever, they're selling toys, etc., so they're trying to highlight characters, but they were very keen on outlining for you exactly what everybody's bag of tricks were. Like, this is what... whatever, this is what Beastman can do. He can talk to the animals, he can do this, that, and the other. You know, this is what Mechanek can do, this is what, you know, blah, 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 blah. Like, you know, especially with She-Ra, you knew exactly what each one of them could do. They each had a strength or something you could go to, and they even wove it into the stories. Like, we need someone that can help us in water, so we're gonna go to Mermista because she can find a way to do this, whatever. Or, you know, Frosta, we need something to be frozen. It's so vague to me up to this point so far with all of these characters. And I guess that's a roundabout way of getting back to, what can he do with this fucking sword? Because he uses it as like a freaking bat signal in this episode.
Yeah, he does.
Like, I'm like, what did he do with that sword just now? When it's not outlined as a strength of the character, or the character can has this power or this ability, it becomes even more of a blatant MacGuffin. Like, it is just there to do whatever the plot needs it to do. Mm-hmm. And I'm having a problem with that up to this point.
I mean, you know, we... We have less of a problem with the matrix of leadership, and that's the biggest MacGuffin in Transformers history at this point.
but those things are outlined as far as like why somebody has them, et cetera. Like, you just know certain people are good for certain things, and She-Ra even, like, yeah, her sword could do a lot of stuff, but it was part of her character. Like, I understand it's part of his character to have a sword, but it's never been explained. It's never been outlined. It's never been defined. And so I guess it can just do whatever the series wants it to do.
Yeah, I guess. For me, this episode is just kind of bad. It's just so... It's standard bad. It's, ooh, bad guy tries to, you know, fooling everyone into, you know, and the hero knows better, and yada, yada, yada. And at the end of it, we get the reverse of, well, we should have listened to you, He-Man. No shit, you think?
I mean, I don't think it was, I don't know if I can agree that it's a bad episode, because based on the stuff that we've watched so far, I actually enjoyed this episode. It was a little bit different as far as the plot goes. I was intrigued on how He-Man's going to, you know, convince these guys not to trust them. What is Skeletor actually going to, how is he going to use this to his advantage? So I did like the episode overall. I just think there's a couple things kind of surfacing now that we're however many episodes into this, almost 10, where it's starting to like set some precedents that, yeah, maybe the writing has some continuity, but I don't agree that the writing's good so far.
No, the writing is not good at all. There is hardly any continuity.
And that's all people fall back on with this series. Every time you talk to someone, every message board you read, every comment section that you read, the thing people go back to, nobody's going to try to say this is a good-looking cartoon. Nobody's going to try to say that the character designs were awesome. You know, nobody's going to rant and rave about the voice work, even though it's average or above average. Campbell Lane's good. You know, there's a few people that are good, but it's not like it's not like it's like blow you away, like phenomenal. The only thing people fall back on is the writing, and I'm not understanding that so far.
I'm not either. Because all right. This is reading like, and this is, you know, playing out like, you know, plot of the week to take over Primus. And this
I don't see how these episodes are somehow superior to even Filmation's He-Man.
Yeah.
You know, and we haven't even gotten to the franchise decent writing series of the group. So, I mean, even if you want to go back to Filmation, which people like to rip on, et cetera, the writing on these episodes compared to those episodes is not that different. Like, I think they're almost on par with each other, but those Filmation series had things to get you to want to watch the show, which this is not doing.
Yeah, because
this is going to be a shit fest for like 20 episodes. I hope you all are happy.
Yeah, I hope you guys are really happy. We spent 5 years on Filmation. We're not spending 5 years on this shit.
We're not even spending 5 months on this.
I know, but I'm saying, but it's one of those things where it's like, let's say you have a multi-monitor setup, okay? And you've got a giant TV above it, and you can split-screen that TV and split the monitors. Like, say you have 3 monitors. You've got your central monitor, and you've got 2, one on the left, one on the right. And you've got the giant TV and, you know, up on the wall there. You split-screen the transformation from He-Man and the Masters of the Universe and the transformation from this. Split screen that on the big screen and then put one on the left and one on the right. And I guarantee you, every person, whether they're a kid now, whether they're a kid then, whether they're an adult now that grew up with it, every single person is going to say that the Filmation transformation is much better than whatever the hell this transformation is in this.
Well, the other thing I guarantee, if you put just a still shot, just like think of like a banner image, like you're gonna put all the characters that are in each show in like some type of banner image or an action sequence or something, and you're just gonna still shot that and put that on all the monitors. I don't care what decade you go to, go into your DeLorean, go back to the 70s, go to the 80s, go to the 90s, go to now. Every kid that you show those pictures to and have them point, which show would you rather watch? They're all going to point to Filmation.
Yep.
They're all going to point to Filmation. And that is not me saying that because I grew up with that series versus the New Adventures. It just looks like a better cartoon. And that's because it is. All right, let's get into the awards section for
this ranting episode of Glasnost Schmasnost, which
now,
I guess
I don't understand that title. So whoever
it's, a play on the piece. It's the Cold War with the U.S. and Berlin and Germany, etc. The leaders.
Is a '90s cartoon. Damn it.
That's where they're getting from. It was supposed to be a piece, and they're whatever. All right, Mara gets a Havoc staff for me, because she's too willing to buy into the fact that the mutants want peace.
Right.
You got to be a little bit more apprehensive. Slushhead also gets a Havoc staff because he kind of slipped up to He-Man and kind of blew things there. So those are my Havoc staffs. Before I let you speak, I do have one Power Sword as well. And I think he's going to get the most throughout the whole series. Skeletor, exercise. Yeah. What about you for any Havoc staffs or Power Swords?
Everybody besides Skeletor. Everybody. The writers, the creators, the characters, Mara, He-Man, Slushhead, everybody gets a fucking power, a fucking Havoc staff except for Skeletor. And the Skeletor gets a Power Sword.
So you're a big fan of Skeletor, not so much everybody else.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, what about a rating for you? I think I'm gonna be way higher than this one on you.
3.
Oh, not too bad. I'm at a 4. I thought it was unique enough that I enjoyed it more than I have most of the other episodes we've watched so far. So that's the only reason, I guess. But a 4 for me. So hey, I'm being positive. See, it's not all negative. I'm just ranting in between my 4 rating episodes. So all right, one more break. Let's get back to episode 9 in a second.
Hello, geeks and geekettes! Looking for a podcast that covers a vast array of topics? Then check out Altered Geek Unleashed, where we discuss our thoughts on this week's geeky news, tech, gaming, television shows, movies, cartoons, comics, and more. So, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks, every Friday on the GeekCast Radio Network.
Last up today is episode 9, The Youngest Hero, October 1990, written by Michael Stokey. Skeletor infects Kaz with a virus and says that he will only give the antidote if He-Man surrenders his magic sword. What do you think, sir?
Why does Skeletor want the sword? Like, okay, other than the fact that the sword is the power of Eternia or whatever.
Even though there's no way for anybody to know that right now.
Yeah, I know, but that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, okay, Skeletor comes from Eternia, obviously, but it's like, what the hell? I mean, like, I just don't get it.
Yeah, I don't understand this episode at all. No. I was just bored. I was bored to tears. I wanted to shut it off. I wanted to do anything else. I wanted to not take notes. This is so, you know, I don't know. It's so stupid. It's almost like a kid episode because this Kaz is almost like a child here. So yeah. I don't know if I'm a big fan of him being involved at all. He just seems to be the one that's always going to tag along when he shouldn't be. And he just deserves to die for being where he shouldn't be. Yeah. So, you know, He-Man, everybody else is telling you to stay. You have to stick on board or you have to go somewhere where you're not supposed to. Kids like that deserve to be punished. Karma should come into play. I know.
Okay, so Michael Stokey, the writer, I just kind of wanted to see what else the man has done.
Right.
He's mostly been miscellaneous crew on writer. It was this and something coming up next year, Sergeant Stubby, an American Hero. I have no idea what that is. I'm not clicking on that, but... acting credits, he was in Cades County in 1971, the FBI in 71. He was on Emergency for an episode in 72. Mod Squad, Incident on Dark Street, 84C, Mopic, whatever that is. Starship Troopers in 90. Oh, he was, okay, yeah, I remember that, kind of that guy. He was in Rules of Engagement in 2000. For miscellaneous crew, he's mostly been like a technical military advisor to various things, like Born on the 4th of July in 89, or Jacob's Ladder, or Heaven and Earth, or The Thin Red Line, Snow Falling on Cedars. He was the military advisor on Band of Brothers for 2 episodes. So he's done more advising than writing. Mm-hmm. So I guess I'll give him a pass. I mean, this episode, I would probably blame on whoever assigned him this more so than him.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one 100%. So How about good things or bad things about this episode?
I just want to win once.
Yeah, that's a good line.
I have nothing. I could not take a note on this episode because it was boring me to tears.
Yeah, that's the only one. I just want to win once. That's Skeletor saying that. That's it.
I do have some hardware, though. I'm going to give Kaz a Havoc Staff, like I talked about. I don't like this kid. And I'll give Skeletor another Power Sword because he's enjoyable to watch.
I agree. One each.
He's like the bright and shining beacon in this series, I guess. My episode rating for this one would be a 2.
Mine is 2.5.
You're higher on an episode than me. That's rare, folks.
I very much doubt that either one of us is going to give any one of these episodes a 5. So as long as we can agree on that,
I'm waiting for it. I think there's some two parters or something that I'm hoping will be all right. We'll see. Maybe they'll eventually shift gears and go to a different direction or something. I don't know. I'm not even looking forward to, like, I don't even know any of the characters. So it's not like the other series where I'm like, oh, I'm looking forward to it because I know we're going to see Pika Blue or I know we're going to see Moss Man eventually. Like, it's just like I have nothing to look forward to except for this to be over so we can go to 2002. All right, one more break. When we come back, we're going to be looking at what we're doing next. What other episodes are coming our way? Maybe something in the title will excite us. I don't know.
Stick around. The new adventures of He-Man will be right back.
Decian, the superhero webcomic. Decian's got superhero antics and sexy girls. For action, drama, mayhem, and more, read it now at Decian.com. DASIEN.com. And for the new Decian podcast, go to patreon.com/Decian.
I, Starscream, have taken over Transformers Prime Time. Call me Lord.
No, Starscream, we will not call you Lord, but we will announce that the GCRN is bringing everyone Transformers Prime Time. That's right, before we get into the TFG1 redone, we enter the Prime Universe. Join your hosts, TFG1 Mike, Steve Megatron, Optimus Solo, and Peacon Court Michael as they cover all 65 episodes of Transformers Prime, the comics, the toys, and more. We will also have a commentary on Predacons Rising, interviews with writers, voice actors, and more. All in the latest Transformers review podcast from the Geekcast Radio Network, you can find TF Primetime on iTunes and www.geekcastradio.com. And remember,
one shall stand and one shall fall.
Welcome back to the new adventures of He-Man.
We are back here around Masters in Space, I guess. And is it over yet?
No. 21 more episodes to go. No, 22 episodes to go.
Oh, God. Can't we just, like, double them up and just do 5 per podcast to get it over with? Like,
nope. Short and sweet. Gotta keep the episode numbers going. All right, so take it away, sir.
If we did that, if we cut it and redid it. No, if we cut it and redid it to 5 episodes each, we can cut this podcast down to 100 podcasts.
Stop it.
Yes. Thank you for listening to the Masters in Space today. If you'd like to get in contact with us, leave feedback for the show, there's several ways to do so. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on this and all of our other episode posts. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Follow us on Twitter. You can follow at geekcastradio for all the other network updates. Follow at Pow of Grayskull for the show. I am at TFG1 and Mike. What is your Twitter?
Mine's at Optimus Solo. If you're going to go to iTunes, though, don't review us based on this series, please.
Please, yeah, no.
We did good work on the other series, damn it.
We spent 5 fucking years on it, damn it. Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/geekcastradionetwork. We hope you enjoyed the show today. And don't forget to join us in our next quest when we will take a look at the next 3 episodes of The New Adventures of He-Man, those being The Festival of Lights. It's a Festivus for the rest of us. And then the first two-parter, which isn't actually labeled as a two-parter, but The Gift, and then Skeletor's Victory.
Hey, maybe Skeletor wins and we can do a new show.
Skeletor wins. For now, I am TFG and Mike with
the Ranter Optimus Solo.
By the power and for the honor of Grayskull, you all have the power.
The magic and the power and something.
The way of the bad and the havocs of staff or something. I don't fucking know. It's a fucking show.
Pixels in the Animation is wrapped on the Super Mario Brothers Super Show. Now, TFG and Mike and TV's Mr. Neil head to Hyrule. That's right, listeners, from episode 16 through episode 20 of PETA, Pain in the Ass. We will be covering all 26 episodes of the Legend of Zelda cartoon. Excuse us, podcasters. You can catch Pixels in the Animation every Wednesday on iTunes and www.geekcastradio.com.
Excuse me, princess.
Do you like retro cartoons? Then Saturday Morning Rewind is the podcast for you. Join them each month as they talk about classic cartoons and interview legendary voice actors like Jim Cummings.
I am the terror that flaps in the night.
Corey Burton.
Sometimes flying is going to be so flighty.
Rob Paulsen.
Sure, Blaine, but how are we going to find chaps our size?
Nancy Cartwright and many more.
Eat my shorts.
So grab a bowl of Lucky Charms.
They're magically delicious.
Put on your hammer pants. Go to SaturdayMorningRewind.com. And be prepared to feel like a kid again. Once again, that's SaturdayMorningRewind.com. Saturday Morning Rewind was voted best podcast ever by its host, Tim Nidell. So it's got to be good.